You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The latest One News in Kantar political poll is out, and it puts National ahead at 39%, while Labour has dropped to 35%. It's the first poll since the 2022 budget was announced. The Greens are also up, sitting at 10%, while ACT is down at 7%. Te Pāti Māori is currently on 2%. Labour saw strong support in the wake of the pandemic, with Jacinda Ardern being the face of New Zealand's COVID-19 response. So why are voters moving away from her now? I asked Lara Greaves, a political scientist at the University of Auckland.
I think this is one of those tricky things where there are so many different answers and so many complex things interacting. I think firstly, National throughout the pandemic were not presenting as a government in waiting. So this is a classic question of, do governments lose election or does the opposition win? And the actual answer is both. So National had to seem like this package that could be subbed in pretty much to become the government. And under Luxon, they are looking more together. They do have a more consistent, coherent message. And they are appearing more like a political party that could actually be the government eventually. So that's there. The other things, of course, if we start to look at, okay, the government potentially losing the election or losing support, it comes back to the fact that the government did have like huge highs around COVID and having one of the best COVID responses in the world, and a lot of gratitude for that in the 2020 vote. So we saw our first ever single party majority government, something we never expected to see under MMP. So we've seen Labour slowly lose support there. But as COVID's become less of a big issue for people on the day-to-day basis, other issues have come up, important issues around the economy and around inflation and around National, successfully framing inflation as the cost of living crisis rather than something to do with inequality or poverty. So we're seeing more and more rhetoric in that space. In the last couple of weeks as well, we've seen a lot of justice issues pop up, and the opposition, whether it be National or ACT, trying to paint Labour as soft on crime. So we've seen a lot of competing issues going on. The other one around the budget is, of course, there's always discussion of whether parties are going to get a budget bump. Well, in the media, the wisdom around Labour seems to be that they don't necessarily get that post-budget bump. But ultimately, in the middle of their second term, they've kind of hit a point where they're not this hopeful, new, exciting party. And what ends up happening is people tend to blame the incumbent when they're that far through their term. People tend to blame them for what's going on and what's going wrong. So there's so many issues going on there.
National has seen better results in the most recent polls, as we've seen. How much of this can be attributed to Christopher Luxon and Nicola Willis's leadership? You mentioned that they have presented themselves as a proper opposition.
So Luxon's taking a real business manager approach to the team and to National, which I think some people disagree with, because politics is in some ways like a business, in some ways not. And so he's really, from the get-go, had this really clear idea of what the party would do, even though that's not always necessarily expressed well in media interviews, and we still see a lot of fumbles and stumbles from him. But we're seeing over time him get better. So, for example, get better in the House. So if you look back to his earlier performances before the Christmas break, they weren't great. There was this literal kind of awkward sit-down moment, and he wasn't commanding. But if we look to his budget speech, he was quite commanding. He had a lot of alliteration. I think I was counting it, the term addicted to spending, at a point in the budget. It was really hitting. When he was saying numbers, he was saying them in a way that felt really convincing, where he was placing the emphasis. So he's gotten his performance more together there and is gradually getting his media performances more together, it seems, in terms of a trend. So that's really important, to be able to present like a good face. There's not leaks happening in the way that there were in the disunity in the caucus, like when we saw over the Bridges Collins incident around Jackie Dean and the potential sexual harassment, all of that kind of showed this disunity. So he's really come in with this like renewal, transformational, get them all in line, get all the MPs into areas that they're interested in and get them focused on work. And that seems to be coming through, at least on that media level, where we're not getting leaks or we're not getting, oh, such and such said this and there's disunity anymore.
You've mentioned National attacking Labour for being soft on crime. A lot of National's policies are about, you know, cracking down. There is a very vocal group that is in support of these policies. How much do these resonate with voters?
What we've seen over time is that National are really trying to hit Labor on issues where they are seen as the party that can solve the problem. So there are certain issues that people think that the left are really good at solving relating to social welfare and poverty, whereas the right, people go, okay, well, they're good with the economy, business, and people tend to think that they're better around crime. Whether they are or not is a completely different matter, but this is like people's, just the general public's views on these issues. Mm. And that's crime. Crime and corrections related policy are those issues that people tend to think, okay, right-wing parties equals crackdown on crime. And so we can see that National and to some degree ACT are really trying to get these issues into the public attention. And we've seen with things like inflation, there's a lot of debates over the extent to which it's external and like external pressures rather than what anything Labor can do. But when it comes to things like crime, we're also seeing that debate where it's not clear, like although we can anecdotally see a rise in crime and there's an anecdotal rise in cases of crime in the media, actually Labor has been saying, well, there's no evidence of that in the statistics. So that's where we're kind of starting to see a little bit of debate around what's reality and what's media and what's people strategically placing stories. Because ultimately what will happen is if people are feeling under threat, and this is based on a lot of sort of international academic literature as well, if people are feeling under threat, they do tend to think, okay, well, right-wing parties will crack down on crime. That seems to be like a sort of heuristic or like a go-to rule for people. Mm. So that seems to be what's playing out at the moment. Of course, any crime or any attack is absolutely horrific, but that tends to be the pattern of voter support when such crimes are so prominent in the press.
It's a long way away, obviously, but if these poll results are indicative of the 2023 election, neither National nor Labor could govern with their traditional parties, obviously ACT and the Greens. Te Pāti Māori, in this case, would be the kingmaker for either party to form a coalition. What would each party have to do to get them on board?
Yeah, so Te Pāti Māori are looking like they would be the people in the centre that could swing things either way. I think this current poll isn't necessarily reflective of what would happen, because one thing that we don't do very well in New Zealand politics is poll the Māori seats, because of course the Māori Party could win more Māori seats, and we probably broadly would expect that in line with their results last election, given the huge wave towards Labour. So it's all indicators are that Te Pāti Māori would be the monarchy maker, the king maker, the whatever you want to call it. And so I think fundamentally they are really pushing back on the idea that they would go with National. They've obviously been with National in the past, and that cause is one of the main causes of them ultimately leaving Parliament. That would be a really tempting thing for them, though, because if you're sitting there genuinely with National on the right, Labour on the left, and those blocs trying to seduce you into coming into government, the issue there is that, like, what a National offering? A National going to pretty much offer you everything? What's going to happen? So I think that generally Te Pāti Māori have ruled out going with National, and I think that you wouldn't like place a bet that they would go with National in that scenario. I think that would be a very unlikely outside chance. I think that they pair more with Labour and the Greens kaupapa and are more likely to go with them overall, like very high chances if that was the scenario. And I think they would still have quite a good point to negotiate from. I think it's also really hard for minor parties to maintain the voter base in that case. And I think that after that, potentially their electoral support might collapse a bit. Mm. So they would have to do really good at the negotiating table for the future of their party. But I think that ultimately you would want to bet, you would probably bet that they would go with Labour.
That was Lara Greaves, a political scientist from the University of Auckland, unpacking the latest New Zealand political poll.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.